Five today. Okay, so we're up to over here, Mizmor Lamed. We are up to Pasuk towards the end. And then the Tzidah started up to Pasuk Yud. That's where we left off yesterday. Pasuk Yud, we spent a lot of time on Shem Hashem. On Hashem, Yud Kei Vav Kei, Aleph Dalet Yud. And now page 262. Pasuk Yud, Mizmor Lamed, Pasuk Yud, Mabetza Bedamim, what profit is there in my blood? Beridity, when I descend El Shachas, into the grave. Now that's the second word we had for the grave in this Mizmor. We had the word Bor, and the Bor was in the beginning of the Mizmor. Chisani
Li. The word Mabetza right away, Bedamim is mimicking what Yehuda says.
V'chisinu es damai. Okay, Nachanan, we'll talk about that. Ma betza, what betza is in my blood. Okay, if you give blood today, they give you a lot of money. It depends where you go. Not the kecholim, but by goyim, they used to pay $50 to get a pint of blood. If you give blood, they give money, no? They used to do that. Not anymore. Depends where you go. But ma betza, what profit? How much money can you make by giving a pint of blood? My bets are the buridity of Shachas. Sorry?
Now you take the blood of the
buridity of Shachas. Hayod Chafar, will my offer, will it acknowledge you? Hayagid Amitecha, will it declare your emes? Okay, so there are many things over here in this pasuk. Let's see the Mitzuda Savit. Mitzuda Savit is on page 262 on the same page. My bets are Mato Elis Kisha Yushbach Dami. Rashi learns, the Mitzudas learns, you look over here on the side, in the Mitzudas Siyoid, Ma Betza, Ma To'eles V'chemda, K'moy U'ma Betza in Malachi. The Mitzudas does not quote the Pasuk in Chumash of Yehuda. 262, I'm sorry if I said the wrong number. 262, sorry. Ma Betza does not quote the Pasuk from Yehuda. My betza, as Rabbi Mayevsky pointed out, the chisini was the most important prophet.
The only place.
Okay.
Judges.
Yeah.
Are supposed to be
sonei botza. Ah, excellent. Sonei botza. So the question over here is, who says when it says the sonei botza, it means money? Okay. Sometimes you have judges that are very, very rich, and the reason why they want to decide they are impartial. They are conflicted is because there's a benefit, there's a to'eles. And the to'eles is not always money. It's covered, or it's their children. Okay, how many people have done corruption in order to get their children a job? Or how many people have been engaged in corruption for covered? They have plenty of money stashed away. Plenty of money, not more money than they need for the rest of their lives and their children's lives. And they get involved in a lot of garbage. Why? Covered. That's human nature. So the Mitzvah says, you say over here that a sonei botza, that a judge, he's a sonei botza. He hates money. Yeah, he hates money, but he loves covet. Or there are a lot of things in life. It's usually about money.
It can be a non-monetary benefit.
Even the brothers, ma betza v'chisinu es domo.
So how do we benefit?
So at the end of the day, they sold them, they got money. They got money, they bought new shoes. And they bought new shoes.
What are we gaining?
So does it actually mean over there in that pasuk money? It could, I think Rashi says it does, right? There's near Rashi that says mamay, mabet says mamay. Over there. So that's a little bit surprising. Why? We always learn this many, many times. Words in Tanakh are abstractions. And the definition of a word is based on its context. When you read and write any other language, the starting point is go to the dictionary. What is the word? Define the word. After you define the word, you take that word and then you put it into a sentence to express an idea. In Tanakh, it's just the opposite. You're not writing Tanakh. Tanakh was already written for you. Hashem wrote Tanakh. The Nevi'im wrote Tanakh. It was done for you. You go to a word and you look at the word as an abstraction, and the word is defined based on the context on the pasuk. It's the complete opposite than every other language in this world. Every language, because we're doing the writing usually, and even if you're not without, even if you're reading something, the person who wrote it first has to know what the word means before you can insert the word into a sentence. So you start off, what does this word mean? There is a hard definition in a dictionary of what the word means, and there's no room to negotiate, to navigate. There's no room and to negotiate. This is what the word means, and you take that word and you construct a sentence. In Lashon HaKodesh, there's no dictionary, because a word is not, there's no definition for a word. A word is an abstract concept. And the word is defined solely based on its context. So when it says by Yosef, by Yehuda, said to his brothers, Ma betza v'chisinu estavo, Rashi there says, based on the context, and we have to go back and study the context, what mamoin, how are we going to make money off this deal? It's a matter of money. Here, Rashi, the Mitzudas does not say that. He does not even quote the obvious passage, because when you hear the word betza, it means to'eles, what benefit. Okay, David over here is saying, is what benefit will there be in my death? Back to the Mitzudas David, Ma betza, Ma to'eles kisha yushbach dami, my blood will be spilled, Hayod chafar kisha adam shav liyos afar, when a person returns to be dust, v'chi yodcha oz, will I know you? Will I make acknowledge your existence? V'chi yagir amitech aloi toi v'lahach hayoisai, v'shav v'rafaloi, v'oz yodil l'cha, Hashem, it's to your benefit, for the purpose of creation, that I should live, so that I can acknowledge your existence, so that I can declare, I can thank you. Now we say this in the Asher Yotzah, multiple times a day. Golui v'yodua lefnei chisei chevodecha she'im yiposeach echad mehem o yisoseim echad mehem. If something goes wrong in our body, something is not functioning correctly, it's a good thing you walked in, Rabbi Eliezer. Today we're learning l'zeicher u'le'ilui nishmas your father.
Yes.
Your father,
Mendel
ben Yaakov. May his neshama have an ali in the schus of the learning we do today. Shvelichtek gan eden for his neshama. Hayodicha afar. So over here, you know, we say this in Asher Yotzah every single day. She'im yiposeach echad mehem. If one of the openings, something that's supposed to be closed opens, o yisoseim echad mehem. One of the things that's supposed to be open closes. Yiafshar lehiskayim. We can no longer exist. V'la'amoid lefonecha. What does that mean? So simply, it means to stand. We can no longer exist and endure. Exist. It's just a poetic expression, right? A poetic expression. Yiafshar. It's impossible. Lehiskayim v'la'amod lefonech. We can't exist. It's poetry. Absolutely. I'm not coming to argue on the Shul Mikra, but there's a deeper pshat. Yevshal lehiskayim can no longer exist. V'la'amod ein amido elo l'shoin tefila. If our body is not functioning properly, we can't daven. And the purpose of men in this world is to daven. Davening, like we said yesterday. Davening, the purpose of this is exactly what it says here in this pasuk. Hayodicha afar, hayagid amitecha. David over here is pleading for his life. And he's saying, Hashem, if I die, I turn into dust. And the dust is not going to say, Ashra Yoshre Vesach. The dust is not going to say, Baruch Ato Hashem Elokim Melech Olam. So the purpose of creating this world is that man should, there should be a human being who acknowledges Hashem's existence, and it should be oimed. Ein amida ella tefila, vayamoid pinchas, vayifalel. There are multiple existences. El hamokoim asher omad shom Hashem, omad shom by Avraham Avinu. The first time we find prayer, Avraham, he prayed for the people of Sodom, and then Hashem told him no, and the next day, Avraham returned El HaMokoyim Asher Omad Sham, to the place where he stood. Sorry? Espnei Hashem?
Yes.
So there is Lefnei Hashem, Asher Omad Sham, Lefnei Hashem. Avraham Avinu, the word Amida now clearly refers to tefillah. Amida is prayer. So therefore we say to Hashem, you know, if my body is not functioning properly, and there are things that are open that are supposed to be closed, things that are closed that are supposed to be open, I can't exist. And if I can't exist, so what? You can't exist. So who cares? No, if I don't exist, I can't daven. I can't be oimed before you in prayer. Or in acknowledging your existence, which is the purpose of why you created me. Why else did you create me? To drink coffee? You created me to pray. And that's, David is saying that exact principle of Yom Pasuk Yud, Ma Bet Sa Bedami Bebit Yal Shachas Ba Toeles, is in my death, when I descend into the grave. Hayod Chafar, will my dust be Oymed Lefanecha, Hayagir Amitecha. So again, the words of the Metzilus, can we do it already? Let's go to the next Pasuk. Pasuk Yud Aleph, Shema Hashem Vichonei Hashem, listen, Vichoneini, and be graceful to me. Grant me Chayn. Chayn vichuneka. Chayn is a very powerful word. Chayn means a matnas chinam. Tzadikim, when tzadikim pray to Hashem, they don't ask Hashem to deduct it from the credit. Hashem, I did mitzvahs. That's not a. There are different drachim. People have different drachim. You know, you hear a lot of people. It's very popular in Eretz Yisrael. Not so. You don't hear this so much in America. When you make deals with Hashem, let's make a deal. Let's make a deal. I will be mekabel upon myself to wear tzitzis, to wear tefillin, and in exchange, you're going to find me a shirach. And in exchange, you're going to heal me. There are some very charismatic, inspirational speakers, or tzaddikim, and you don't see this in America too much. But in Eretz Yisrael, not that I'm an Eretz Yisrael, but you see these video clips. There's certain, you know, celebrities today with WhatsApp, it's the global village, you get to see a lot of things going on there at the show. And there is this mahalach of let's make a deal. Hashem, I'm gonna do something and you're gonna reciprocate.
Is that bad?
No, it's not bad. Absolutely not.
Well, we're talking about Spartan. I mean they're handlers.
Okay. Well, when you say well, they're
handlers.
Handlers, okay, they're in business, they're handlers, dealers. Okay.
Dealers,
wheelers and dealers, and they deal with Hashem, yeah.
I think the only problem with that problem is a one-sided deal. You're telling Hashem, I'm going to do this, and I want you to do that. The question is, what is your
So as long as the attitude is that if Hashem, you don't come through with your part of the deal, it's okay. I don't second guess you that it's not for my benefit. But person has a right to assume it is for your benefit. This is what you want. You want me to be healthy and alive and be successful, and I have a right to assume it's my benefit. And therefore, I'm going to exert myself and be mekabolus. There is such a principle. I'm going to be mekabol upon myself, and I'm asking you, demanding of you, that you should reciprocate in this way. And it's
perfect. The only way you can do that is with tzedakah. If you're not saying tzedakah, I want you to reward.
So this is also an act of.
How do you invent? I mean, I do also, but I mean.
So the people do the how it's a Gemara. The Gemara says you bring a carbon oil up, b'shvil sheyich yabidi. It's a Farish Gemara. I want to bring a carbon oil up, b'shvil sheyich yabidi. Hare is a tzadigamul. Tzadigamul. So there is a principle. There is a principle, but you have to go with the attitude. Even the Gemara says the attitude that if Hashem does not, so I accept. It's a matter of attitude, but it's mechazik you that you become a better person. People need incentives. I mean, let's be realistic. You live in an olam hagashmi and you need incentives. You make investments, so this is a incentive for you to be mechazik yourself.
And it's not normal. The person shouldn't be disappointed if he doesn't get
anything. He will be disappointed. There's no question about he'll be disappointed. But he's allowed to be this, but that's the way he's allowed to be. He's allowed to set himself up for disappointment, provided he knows that the disappointment will end with disappointment. He's not going to go do something crazy. I'm disappointed, you didn't come through, therefore, you know what? I'm finished. I'm out of here. I'm not coming to shul anymore. You can't do that, obviously. But will you be disappointed? You certainly will be disappointed. The Gemara, that's what the Gemara is saying. Ha'oimer. Harezu oile bishvil. I'm only bringing this oil. The oil costs $1,000, and I got to make a trip to Eretz Yisrael. And when I come to the Beis Hamikdash, the Kohanim, they're going to drive me crazy. They're going to say, "Oh, you don't stop bringing oil. That's not the way it works here. You come to the Beis Mark. You come to the Beis Hamikdash. You just bring an oil. You show up here. I want to bring carbon oil. No. That's not the way it works. You come to Eretz Yisrael, bring oil. You first go sit in Koilel for 2 weeks. Koilel." You sit in Koilel for 2 weeks, You daven kivros sikin for 2 weeks. You got to put yourself in the right frame of mind. And then you come back. And we'll see where you're holding. And we will decide, we'll let you bring the carbon oil. Okay, it's a lot of work. That's how it was. It wasn't just time you come to the bay, oh, here I am. Hineini, here I am. Here's a credit card. Swipe the credit card. Give me the ticket. Go to the coin. The coin has an animal. It's on the Mizbeach. You go back to America. Take a selfie before you walk out. On the way out, look at me. I'm a tzaddik. Ridiculous. What is ridiculous. You just go to Eretz Yisrael and you swipe your card. You get your ticket. You bring it to the coin. He picks out the animal. Kabbalah. Go on, next. Get out of here. Get out of the way. We have other people over here online. Where's my tip? Ridiculous. That's not the way it works. Chloe, look at Mepharshim. When a person brought a carbon, it was an investigation. It was a CIA investigation. Who are you? Where do you come from? What did you do? What brought you here? Did an Aveira? Oh, you're not just bringing a carbon. You have to do teshuvah. We have to give you a formula how to do teshuvah. You know, it's a process. It's like a ger. A guy comes, I want to be a ger. Oh, really? You want to be a ger? It's very interesting. Very interesting. You know, and they tell him, they basically tell him, get lost. And then when he keeps on coming back, you're really serious, I say. All right. It's a 2-year program. It's how it is today. Today, a ger is a 2-year program. All the body didn't have a 2-year program to really test the waters of a person how serious. Technically, you don't need it. Technically, you can be a ger in 10 seconds. Technically, you can come to the base of Hamidah, Shemingo Carbon, in 10 seconds. Go ahead.
I remember a non-Orthodox conversion that said, in by 9, out by 5.
Why so long? What takes so long?
I don't know, dry cleaning.
You can do it in two minutes. Bris Mila, let's say the kid already had it, first time Bris Mila, when he was many going used to have, I don't know even today, but most of the country in America used to have a Bris Mila. Anyway, so it's just that toughest numbers. And you say, I'm a cowbell, and you go take a dunk in the swimming pool. You're done. Takes 10 seconds, the whole thing. But that's not the way it goes. So over here, Shema Hashem, Hashem, so over here, so how do we get into this? David over here is saying to Hashem, he's making a deal. Ma bet sabedem b'ritzal shachas hayotcha faryag debitecha. You make a deal with Hashem. You make a deal with Hashem. Well, we got into, no, here we go. I'm sorry. We got into the next pasuk. That's how we got into this. Shema Hashem v'choneini. So this is, see, this concept of let's make a deal, it's definitely done. You see it done more by Balei Teshuvah. You see by Israel. I have an Israeli friend. He does this a lot. He tells me he needs something, and he's in a Kabbalah. He's a very firm guy. He's a regular, you know, from birth. Regular guy. But he's Israeli. He's a real Israeli. He grew up in Eretz Yisrael. And he has the whole Israeli culture with him. And every so often, he gets all worked up. And he says, I'm a Kabbal. Hashem, I need this. I'm a Kabbal to do this. 90 days, this, every single day I'm going to do this chesed, I'm going to do this, and Baruch Hashem, you're going to come through for me. it's something people, it's a different mentality. David, I'm not saying
it. Works.
What?
Your friend will tell you how it works.
Well, he keeps on doing it. He's a smart guy. He knows it doesn't always work. He does it in a responsible way. Okay, obviously, like I told you, obviously, it's self-understood that Hashem has no obligation to do what you want. Who do you think you are? You hold Hashem hostage? What do you think you are over here? Excuse me. Okay, that's not the way things work. But it's done. It's the Gemara. So let's say the kid doesn't live. So the guy's going to go, okay, Hashem, I'm out of here. Ridiculous. But it's a koyach. There's a koyach. Yet, there's a Gemara which conflicts. And the Gemara says that tzaddikim, whenever they ask Hashem, they make it clear, do not take away from the reward, their reward in the Olam Haba. We only want from you Hashem a matnas chinam.
That's what Rabbi Yaakov says, but by Yachshav Elot Tzedakah, but he have to load. He has to save load. So Avram said, Kabel, you know, the pleasure that you gave me to be successful, as long as it's a tzedakah and doesn't decrease my bank account.
Yeah, that, but that's by the before the Brisbane of Sarim.
Yeah.
Before
the Brisbane of Sarim. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we're not really
we actually like tzedakah.
Yeah.
I just took this in life savings. Tzaddikim are only asked from Hashem a matnas chinam.
In the 1930s, my father told me that somebody walked into the Beis Medrash and gave my grandfather $5 to give him a shiver for his father who was sick. He gave him, which was a lot of money, $5 then. He gave him $5 and then he came back a week later. He wanted his money back and father.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. I just want to, with Mechila, correct you. Mayaski, $5 a lot of money today also.
Oh, yeah. A gallon. Almost.
But,
I think the prophet that we say every day in Shimon Esri, I think we're all about that. What's that prophet about? So here we get for all these different things, Ebrefeinu and Sachmanu and all these things, what happens if they don't happen? So we say to Hashem, Atom Shimcha.
Very good. Very good. It's very, very cool.
Even if we don't get it, we still are thankful to Hashem.
Still that, even if you don't get it. Very good. Excellent. It's a very interesting episode like that.
I think that's the most important brother.
At the end of all the requests, you're saying to Hashem, we moichel you. If you don't come through for us, it's okay, we don't deserve it anyway. Okay, very, very good. Now we hear David doesn't do that though. See, David doesn't make David says of these as the zichoneni. Chain is a matnas chinam. Chain, why do you like a person that's chain? What does it mean? So there are like 10 perushim. What does it mean chain? But one of the most popular words of chain means chinam. Chain comes from the word chinam. You cannot put your finger on it. There's no reason. Why do you like him? Why do you like him and not him? Why? He has chayim. What do you mean he has chayim? What does that mean? He has chayim. What do you mean he has chayim? I can't, I just like him. Chinam, I can't define.
Put your finger on it.
I can't put my finger. There is no science. There is no profit. There is no logic. It's chinam, for free. It is void of any connection, any logic, any reason, anything which makes sense. Chinam. Chinam doesn't just mean no money. It means there's no logic. There is no concept that can explain why this is true. That's just how it is. It's metaphysical. I like this person because I like this person. That's the Shema Hashem. Listen, Hashem, to my supplication. V'choneini. Give me what I want for free. I'm not doing anything. I'm not going to go be makabel. Nothing. I'm not taking upon myself to get up earlier, to learn more, another share, give more money to Tzedakah. Hashem, I have a problem. I have a problem, and I want you to help me for free. V'chaneini. Okay, yeah, we had this we once spoke about this at length after Corona, and Corona is still going on. Ain't over. But during the, you know, the 2 years ago when it was really, really bad, deadly, and lockdown, and all you heard the whole day was sirens, and from our community, so many people passed away. So many people are sick, people are still sick. And Rabbans, people, what do you do? Spiritually, the survivors, we're all survivors. What do we do? Is Hashem talking to us? Is Hashem making demands that we should do something different? So people, well, let's go back to the Holocaust. What did people do after the Holocaust? The survivors. Were they Makabel? From now on, they're going to say every day 10 Mizmoedim of Tehillim. They're going to learn 5 Daf Gemara. So there's a very big range if you listen carefully to all the inspirational speakers and Rabbanim, there's a very big range. And the ones that appeal to me, can't speak to anyone else, is there's nothing to do. Do nothing. Just go on. That itself is enough for you. Just go on. Don't do anything different. I mean, you should always improve yourself. Of course, obviously, it's always, you know, everyone's always in the state of a growth. But because of this tragedy, what should you do? So, yeah, there's a big range. But the Rabbanim that said, there's nothing to do. There's nothing to do. Just move on. Continue your avodas Hashem the way you've been taught and trained. Just do what you're supposed to. You don't have to be mekabel upon yourself because I survived. I was in the hospital. I came that close to dying and I survived. So now I have, for the rest of my life, I have to go and give X amount of dollars of tzedakah for this and for this and for this. No. Just be normal and live your life in a healthy frame of mind. That's vichoneni. That's what David says. Shema Hashem vichoneni. I got a problem, Hashem. I'm asking you for a handout. I'm not pledging anything in return. It's not a loan. I'll pay you back. I'm not being makabel upon myself. I'm going to go to the kaisel every single day for the next 20 years. I'm not doing anything. Choneni. Choneni is matnas chinam. And by the way, Hashem, don't go into my life savings account, all the chasodim and tzedakah that I've done my whole life, and take out some of the zuchusim and use it to pay off what I need now or pay off my debts. No, no, no. The life savings account, you don't have the password for, Hashem. My zuchusim is locked away for olam haba. You don't go there, Hashem. I don't give you permission. I don't give you power of attorney to go into my life savings account. Stay away. I'm going to go tell the police an order of protection against you. Don't go take away my merits. I want a handout, a mana. It's a very different approach than my Israeli friend. Okay, Kabbalah. I'm Kabel to do this. Maybe this is a Yitzchak. I'm known, is that his name?
I'm Yitzchak.
I'm known
Yitzchak.
I'm known Yitzchak.
He's a hero.
Oh yeah, he's in America?
So the ads, yeah.
Oh yeah? Kabbalahs, you know, they have all these, you know, they're very the Sardim special, the Sardim. And the Gemara, the Ferish of Gemara. Elu. You know, it depends. Everything, every situation depends. But this is a very powerful pasuk, Shmasha v'choneni, Hashem heye bin oizer li. Oh, so what does Targum say, Rav Mordechai? Kabel Hashem tzoloisi, accept my prayer. The chusolai, the word v'choneni is have compassion upon me, Hashem. Have se'id libya support for me. Okay, v'choneni is chus, right? Chus, compassion, chus. Very good. So v'choneni is, the Targum is saying something totally different. He's not saying that it's matnas chinam, it's saying that it's chus. Chus v'rachim oleinu, compassion. Okay, let's see the Mesudas David. Shema Hashem v'choneni, which pasuk is this? Pasuk Yud Aleph?
I think the pasuk is still suggesting Shema Hashem is making
tefillah. You ask, listen. Listen to my prayer.
I think it's up to the person
to say tefillah. And then choneni.
It's not just
stam. No free lunch. He's saying there's no free lunch. Shema Hashem. All right, you have to nuance it. I always like to assume that this word over here, Hayei Oizer Li, means Hashem, get me a shirach. Every time you have the word Oizer, refers to a zivuk. Ezer Kenegdoi. Ezer Kenegdoi. Every a wife is an Ezer. Is an Ezer Kenegdoi. Hashem, Hayei Oizer Li. You should be the source of finding me an Ezer. A zivuk hogan. Why is this pasuk? The reason why it says because this mizmar, you cannot deny. I said already 3 days in a row. It's the beginning of davening. Psukei dezimmer begins mizmar shir chanukah sabayisavavi. What is one of the main things you daven for? And it's very bizarre. On one hand, there's no explicit mention of praying for a zivugim. Mitzad sheni, Chazal said the only thing that you should daven for is zivugim. Lezois yispalel kol chosid. Le'es mitzoy. For this, a person should be mispalo at the time of finding. When he needs it, zo isha.
And there's a whole list of different things. Es mitzoy. There's a whole list of things.
Qualities. Different. Beis akisei.
Yeah. a good guru.
Right. We're only saying three things.
There's a whole list of things.
I think three different
things.
Right. Beis HaKir, Mordechai, Shonad, the Gemara gives a few exhibits. I think only three, I'm not saying only three examples. I think there are three. Isha, Beis HaKisei, Kavura. Kavura.
Spade them.
Kavura. Okay. Okay, but the top of the list is Isha. The word, I once told the rabbi. It says Vayasloi Ezer Kinegoi. The first time the Torah talks about a wife, the first word the Torah uses to describe a wife is the word Ezer. Ula Adam Loi Matza, Ula Adam Loi Matza, Ezer Kinegoi. Okay, so the first time in the Torah that there's a reference to a man's wife, the first is important. You only get one chance to make a first impression. Ula Adam, Loi Matza, man, he looked at all the creatures, he saw they all had zivugin. And man, Ula Adam, Loi Matza, Ezer Kinega. Man did not find it. It's the first time it says that. It says that, it says a wife, a spouse, Ezer.
Support for him, like Targum says, saw it. There was in a larger sense, Ezer means, you know, to help a person.
Help a person.
And saw it, to support him.
A support.
Nowadays, the wife's what's the other?
So when it says here, Heye bi oizer li, you can't ignore the fact that this word is the first time the Torah refers to a spouse, and Chazal say, Lezois yispalel kol chasid le'es mitzah. That there is a special significance in davening for a wife. Chazal's instructions. So when it says here, David is being mispalel, Hashem heyei ozali, Hashem anina zivik, anina shirach. David got 18 wives. He davened shemana esrei. He got a wife for each bracha. Kinega, each, he's shva Hashem. Listen to my shemana esrei. Hey, yay, ozali. I need a zivak. Hashem said, okay, for
so
each bracha.
What?
You need that. Hashem said that you're not happy. If you want the more, make you rasha. You have 18 wives. 18 is not enough for you. 18 wives? Well, Shlom had 1,000 wives. Someone even last night, 11 o'clock at night, he said to me, Shlom had 1,000 wives. So Shlomo was the chacham mikol ha'adam. He wasn't so smart.
No.
1,000 wives? He wasn't so smart. He was a case of a joke, but you know, whatever. So, Hashem, that's why I always thought that the drush of this pasuk means he's being misspelled for Ishak. And David did pretty good. He had some pretty good wives. He had Hashem, Abigail, and he had Michal Vashal, she gave Mishtar Kumusa Michal Vashal, you know, she, David had some very significant, you know, a lot of the Ishaya Tanakh, you don't know who their wives are. There's no mention. David, it's fascinating, we know a lot about his wives. And if I'm not mistaken, from all of the Ishaya Tanakh, maybe besides the others, besides Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, do a study, who do we know the most about? From all of the wives.
No,
okay, you're saying or something. You're saying a little bit.
The wives of the
others. Besides the others, that's because the most. Sorry, Rivka Rachaleah. But besides the most, from the Ishaya Tanakh, all of the men, all of the male chauvinists over here, from all of the men, who do we know the most about their wife? Most men in the Tanakh doesn't say anything. Eliyahu HaNavi, who's he married to?
Obviously, you don't count, let's say, Ruth or Esther. Maybe he wasn't.
No, because they're the primary figures. I'm talking about the men. Let's talk about the men that are famous men. We'll talk about famous men.
I always like to know the names, like Mrs. Moat and...
Last week's Parsha. The last week is a very famous thing.
Mrs. Manoah.
Oh, so it's Salphonius.
Salalponi.
Salponi?
Salalponi.
Salalponi. Sounds like a lot of sounds.
Which means...
Yeah.
She was able to face the Malach, and the Malach is called a sail, like a shadow, a non-physical being. So she poneh, she faced the enemy,
Sal Pony.
Salal.
Salal. Salal is the shadow of Pliny. The Pliny, wait, so say again, that she was able to face, who's the Pliny? The Malach? Lam is that?
Pony. Sail.
The shadow.
Is the shadow, that's the Malach.
Yeah.
Malach is
and
the
what's
shadow.
The what's the next part of the word?
Is Panim.
The Panim. She came face to face
so
with the Malach.
The
okay.
So
okay.
She took that name afterwards. Which I understand that. I couldn't find it again, but I did read. One second. I did read last week that name appears in Divrei Hayomim also.
Okay. I heard a story.
And
someone
of course
was
there's Mrs. Noah and Mrs. Lot, whose names we know.
There was a rebbe. A person went to a big rebbe and he for a bracha for a child. And the rebbe told him, "You have a child, and you should name the child from the parasha. You have a child, and you must name the child the name that will be found in the parasha of when the child is born." And then the rebbe died. 9 months later, he had a girl. What parasha was it? Parshas Nosai. Parshas Nosai, there's not even one woman mentioned. There are a lot of men, all the names of the men, there's not one woman mentioned. So he went to his Hasidim, the Rebbe said, "You'll have a child, and you should name the child from the parasha." There's no one, there's not even one woman in the parasha. So they said there is. Sal Poini, Eishes Manoyach, the Haftorah. The Haftorah of Parshas Nosai, it's all about a woman. And the woman, even though her name is not stated, she's only called in the Parsha Eishes Manoyach. But Chazal, as Rabbi Chol pointed out, tell us that her name was Sal Poini. And that's what he named the baby. Go look it up on Google.
And
then they became Sal Poini?
No, I'm making it up. Who else is going to name Sal Poini?
Chinka,
the
story is, Chinka,
no one would name the child Chinka.
Yeah.
So the family made the catering bowl called Chinka.
So people will name the
so
child.
I was making a joke. Salponi, the same thing.
Someone's going to go name the game. All right. Okay, so this is the Pasik Yudais. Pasik Yudais. Afachtan Mismil Machaliach HaLashbach, you have transformed my hesped to dancing. Okay, now that Lee Pitachta Saki, you have opened up my sackcloth to Azraini, and you have girded me with Simcha. And this is a very fascinating thing. What is the opposite of Hesped? Okay, if you go, I always
over,
remember this. When I was in what grade was I? I don't know, first, second, third grade. They had on the thing, the opposites. What is the opposite of a dog? It's a multiple choice question. Cat. What? That's the correct answer. I remember this when I was a little kid. That's the correct answer. Why is the opposite of a dog a cat? does that make any sense to you? True and false. You know, all these opposites. What is a dog and a cat? Okay, they don't like each other. They do. I don't know. You see, sometimes they get along, dogs and I don't know.
Rarely.
What?
Rarely.
So why is the opposite of a dog a cat? I don't know. So maybe it means in child's mind they fight. I don't know. In any event, what is the opposite of Hesped? The opposite of Hesped. Hesped. What?
Song.
Oh, I'm commonly saying song. What's the difference, to tell you a joke, what's the difference between a Sheva Brachas and a funeral? What's the difference? One less speech. The only difference between Hesped and Sheva Brachas is one less speech. The groom is in the coffin. He doesn't have to speak. Mark, he likes this. That's the only difference.
Well, that's why I say in the Madrid, the rabbi, you know, I said the page after the Sheva Brachas, it has, you know, Mila, you know, what to say, all these things, life cycle events. As soon as you turn the page, I used it as a one time because it just hit me when I was turning the page. And the page after Sheva Brachas is a geisus, you know, what to say, and a deathbed.
Aye, aye.
Because you start the page, it's over.
Yeah. You know, the other joke about Shabrach, killing from Shabrachas in a wedding. What, the, by both of these things, everyone in the
no,
everyone.
No, for that. It says Hakdosas Adais
Uvavoyim. Yeah, but it's the next page.
Hakdosas Kavon Uvavoyim Sabes.
Shabrachas is over. Hakdosas Kavon Uvavoyim Sabes. Now we're ready for the Kura.
What are the, they ask the same three questions, by a Sheva Brachas and by a funeral. Number one is, how old? How old is the Chassan? How old is the Mehal? How old is he? Then they ask, did he Muchazuch? Define the Shidduch. Number three, well, this is more than four questions. Number three is, how much money? Did he leave over a lot of money to his children? Did the Chassan get a lot of money? Is it a rich Shidduch? And number four, are they going to Eretz Yisrael? The same four questions.
Yes, they have the money.
They have the money. It's not cheap. Okay, now getting back. So here's the question. Over here, Hafachta Misbidi L'mochol. You have Kalman said correctly. You have Kalman. Now, what is going on? You have transformed my hespit into a dance. That's my hafachta. You have transformed pasuk yud beis. Hafachta. We say this every single day. You ever think about this? Where are our minds when we daven? Hafachta misbedi l'macholi. You have transformed my eulogy into a dance. What? Hafachta. The word hafachta means we're going 180 degrees. Okay, v'napochu. Exactly, v'napochu. So what is the opposite? How, if you were writing this pasuk, what would you say? So Rav Kalman said he would say, "Hafachta misbidi l'shiri, to my song l'zimri," different expressions of song. Dancing is the body. The mechol does not have any connotation of dibur. So what does this mean over here? What does this mean over here? Okay, pitachta saki, you open up my sackcloth. Okay, you have opened my sackcloth. Vata azreini simcha. It's interesting. The pitachta doesn't say you took it off.
It means loosened.
Well, it doesn't even say loosened. It just you opened it up.
You took off my sack and you girded me with simcha.
The word pitach does not mean to take off. Does not mean to loosen. It means to open. To open.
Sure, but
what? Pitachta, yeah. Pitachta, Pesach, to open. So okay, so we're being poetic. Yeah, no one's coming to disagree that it's poetry and don't that's the pshuta shel mikra. This has to be something a lot more. Vata Azreni means to gird me simcha. I think there's something over here very, very deep when you really want to translate the words very literally. But let's receive them into the start. And I'll tell you what I want to say. Pasuk in base verse. Hafachta haloi rabois pam and many times Hashem. Hafachta misbedi l'mochol. You have transformed my hesped to dancing, v'asak, and the sackcloth, asher samti al mosnai, that I put on my loins, ba'avur ho'edo, because of mourning, v'hatzar, haloi hitarta oiso, you have loosened it, or you have, okay, hitarta means you have, hitar, what is hitarta? Hitarta is not the same, it's not the same as bitachta. You have removed it, you have loosened it, me'olai, Va'azartani b'simcha, you've girded me with joy. L'zeh gam atochoneni. Therefore, Hashem, just like this, is a very common concept, very popular concept that David employs very often. That you know, it's not so obvious to at least not to me, to the average person. David builds upon past experience in his relationship with Hashem. It's a very interesting concept. I mean, personally, I'm not telling you, it's irrelevant, but David does this. David looks back in his life and says, you know, Hashem, I remember that time when I had a very difficult matzav. And I davened to you. And you came through. And you answered my prayers. Just like you did it then, do it again now. My inyan shmitel etel har Sinai. Just because Hashem did it for you 5 years ago, 10 years ago, who says now Hashem has an obligation to do it for you now? I mean, what does that mean? So you want to tell me Kabbalistic concepts? Once the tzinor of salvation was opened, this is a Kabbalistic concept. Ribbono shel Olam, I had a problem 5 years ago. I had a daughter 5 years ago to marry off. And it was very hard. And I worked very hard. I davened. And in Shemayim, the tzinor of Shidduchim, it was open. And down came from that that pipe that I created for myself came a chosan. You brought me a chosan. So the pipe is open. So just like I have established that relationship with you in the past, I've accomplished, I need more. Open up the faucet. The infrastructure is there. It's a very deep concept. David is saying that when I was younger, I created an infrastructure of my tefillos working. There are many madregos in tefillos. It's not, okay, I daven. When you daven, you're creating something. You're creating a technique. By working hard in davening, you learn how to daven. Davening is a limud which takes a lifetime. You create for yourself an infrastructure. And when the infrastructure has been established in the past for something that caused you a lot of tsar and agmas nefesh, later in life you have the tools. You can draw from what you've achieved in the past to use those tools that you've created to help you now at this point in time. That's what he says, just like in the connecting pasuk, you get based back to the previous pasuk. Okay, but now I really want to go back and I'll explain the other idea I want to say. They established. The Yud Gimel Midas HaRachem were established by Moshe and the Avos. Their Koichat, they created the channels, the techniques, and we benefit from this. But even in our own lifetimes, when we daven very, very well for a period of time, we learn how to daven. And now when we need something from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this is an important situation, we can draw from that. Okay, that's one idea. I want to go to another idea. I think this is a very deep idea. The question that we asked over here is a very important question. The question over here is, Hafachtam nis b'dila machal, you have transformed my hesped, my eulogy. What does that mean? If you want to go take it very literally, Hashem, I was a goises. The chaplain came in and he already said shchiv meira, tzilas shchiv meira, and they already called the funeral home to get everything in motion. The paperwork was done already. They even bought the tickets to send my body. I once saw that a person was not well, and then I found out that as soon as the phone call was made, every single paper was generated and signed, and tickets were even, arrangements were made even with the airline. And then the person died like 2 days later over Yom Tov, and Mitzvah Yom Tov, everything was already been taken care of.
It's called a pre-need.
When was it taken care of? Erev Yom Tov. But the person was alive. Well, you made a telephone call. You make a telephone call, everything is put into motion. If you made a telephone call, that's the way we work. We have to be prepared. So David over here is saying, you know, the Rabbanim already wrote the Hespedim for me. And you should know in Europe, in the old, there are a lot of stories about this. You know what the biggest speech was for a Rav? It wasn't the Shabbos HaGadol Drasha. It wasn't the Shabbos Shuva Drasha. The most important speech Rabbanim made were Hespedim. Hespedim was a big, big event. Everyone came to Hespedim, and that is when the rabbi, the orators, they demonstrated their koichos. And what the rabbanim would do, they would put, from the first moment they laid their eyes on the balabas, they started writing the Hespedim. It's not a joke, it's true.
So obituary column, yeah,
they're written up way ahead. They have obituaries on file. New York Times has obituaries for every person in Congress, every public figure, they're ready to go. Even young
some of them
people
are already dead, they don't know yet.
In the White House, every president decides on his funeral
while he's president. Or everything is put into motion.
But what you're saying, the Rabbanim used to write the Hespedim in booklets.
And they put it in their desk. Right, and then, what was the tragedy? People would break into the office and they would steal, they would open up the desk. Oh, look at this. All the Hespedim, all the Balabatim. And then they would read what it says, and they would give it to the Baal. They would get back to the Baal HaBos, and the Baal HaBos would say, "That's all you could say about me? That's what you're going to say about me?" This happened many times.
This is the Gemara.
Many times this happened.
The Gemara says this, that he asked, "What are you going to say about me on that day?"
Oh, right.
And it's actually today's daf. You know,
today's daf. Yeah.
He says the foot overturned. You know, for chalitza, they can't do chalitza because their foot is not flat; it's sideways. Two of them, one Shishai and Ivat, two of them, that's what you can say about me. About
they're very insulting. Yeah, yeah. So
my
this is
all
ready to go.
Yeah.
My uncle owned the furniture store, baby furniture store. The guy would have the baby's room done completely before when she was pregnant.
Yes.
The Jewish people would not do that. They would wait till the baby was born before they called
it. I'm horror. Right. Today it's not so much like
Errol Wine wrote.
Today the film people they prepared
in
advance. Yeah.
Read it in his book. That he said whenever he had a problem with Bala Boss when he was early on in his life, his
remember
who's
going to.
Yeah, he said, remember who's going to make your ass.
So David over here, if you want to go take this passage and put it in modern terms, David is saying that the Rabbanim already, they wrote the Hespedim, Hafachtim Misvidi, and everything was ready to go, and they were shocked. And you should know, it says Hak in the Medrash. It says, it says in the Luke of the Shas, we're not going to have time today, but it says Hak in the Medrash, they already made all, it says Mamishlis, that they read all the arrangements were made for David's funeral, and then it's like, all of a sudden, they were shocked. David gets up, like you know, it's like you go to a funeral, and all of a sudden, during the funeral, there's a knock on the coffin from within. excuse me here, what's going on over here? And they open up the coffin, and I'm alive. You know, there are stories like this.
It's
not.
It happened not long ago. Right. Again, they had the story in the paper not long ago.
The person's still
alive.
That's
why it's called awake. The guy have a wake.
Make sure.
They have music, they dance, everything to make sure the person is dead. That's
the expression. What do you say? They say they dance?
They do everything. They dance, they play music.
See, it's interesting. Afachtim missing machali. And then what happens? Then I woke up, I'm alive, and it turned into a dance. So there's an attack of the Medrash Aliyah says. The Medrash Aliyah says that this is exactly what happened with David. David, they were all sitting around David. They lit candles. They were saying Shema Yisrael, and they were saying, and then they really believed. Okay, it's happening now, happening now. Yitzias Neshama, send a text. Everyone should come. Come, he's dying. And then it's as about that. All of a sudden, he wakes up, and he gets off his bed, and they were in shock, and they started dancing. Okay, so you can take the pasuk literally if you want, even though we said in the beginning that it's not the words don't make any sense. The opposite, the hafachta, the transformation of a eulogy is to say words of song, to say words of praise, not. So if you want to go take the Medrash, fine, you can find a pshat. The next part is very difficult. It's pitach the saki. You opened up my sackcloth.
Maybe he read and misstated is an ashamed of thing. The people who do the esped and they are sad that they see the town like that. So they start to get
right. That's the Medrash. Okay, there are ways to answer this question. The second part of the pasuk is equally difficult. You opened up my sackcloth. That's not the right word. You were maseir. You removed. You don't go and just open the buttons. Oh, open the buttons. Excuse me, take off this shmata you wear and put on some normal clothing. You gird me with simcha. What are you putting on, a belt? What's simcha? The name of a belt? What does this mean? So I want to say the pshat like this. David HaMelech, when he says his pasuk, nothing changed. David is a goyses. He's dying. And he's depressed. He's dying. His vital signs are going down. And he's not getting better. And what is the natural state of this a person in this matzav? Depression. Okay, clinical depression. I'm a young man. I'm leaving over. What am I have accomplished? And the hesped did not go away. Within the matzav of hesped, I'm still going to get up and dance. It's like, you know, I don't like this. I really don't like this. But anyway, just say the concept. It's like there were people in Auschwitz who, you know, they went into the gas chambers. They sang Ani Mamin. They sang. They sang. And there are stories. Like, this is not for everyone. And not everyone goes for this type of stuff. But there were people that they danced. There are such stories.
Yesterday was the Yahrzeit of the second Stalin event, and there was a story of the Stalinists had seen, a bunch of them started dancing, that the Germans got so upset they were dancing, they pulled them out.
They said, took him out, because they didn't
want... No, we're not letting you.
We don't want to let you. We don't want to let you die.
Also,
there were stories like this. I'm not making this up. You all heard these stories. What?
Zisman. Zisman?
Yeah, Leo Zisman.
Yeah, he was a young man. He came to Auschwitz and with a bunch of the kids, and he told the kids, hey, listen, this is what we're going to do. As soon as they came, they lined up outside, and they started marching with a German song. And when the guy stopped and said, what's going on? He says, we were told to report to sing. The guy says, where are your papers? He says, you beat the chapter papers. they couldn't find any papers. So they put in a temporary bunk in the whole...
Neil Zisman, his survival is l'malam derech hateva. He had like 20 lives. 20 times he came that close to dying. He doesn't make any... There's a biography, his wife, they wrote this incredible biography. Or maybe he wrote the biography. I have the biography at home. Well, he wrote it? I have the biography. Incredible. I mean, he got a bracha. He attributes it to a bracha in the Lubavitcher Rebbe. The fifth Lubavitcher Rebbe. The fifth Lubavitcher Rebbe. His father was Lubavitcher Chassid. He took him to the fifth, not the sixth, not Rav Nachum Mendel, not his father-in-law, Yitzchak Yosef, the one before that. His father took him, and the Rebbe looked at him in the eye, and he gave him a bracha that he'll live. And his survival is beyond belief. Beyond belief. And he wrote it. Leo Zisman. He died, he passed away a couple of years. He was a Balabas here in Flatbush. He lived in Flatbush. He moved to Lawrence. The last couple of years he lived in Flatbush. He was a Lubavitch.
He
used to daven in my father's shul, Yomil Avenue J, he daven in other shuls. He was a very nice person, Leo Zisman. And at the end of his life, he was a celebrity. He went all over to every yeshiva in the world and they invited him to come speak and tell over his story. And they all honor for brachas. And he wrote a book about his life.
Miracles nonstop?
Huh?
Miracles nonstop?
No, that's not the name of the book. No. It's a very interesting book. I have it at home somewhere. But I read it during Corona. During Corona, I read that book. I remember that. I read it in lockdown. But over here, what it means over here is pitachta saki. I didn't take off my sackcloth. I didn't take it off. I'm wearing the sackcloth. I'm in a matz that I'm going to die. Here I am. I'm in Auschwitz. There's no way out. Here we're going into the gas chambers. I'm wearing sackcloth. What am I leaving over in this world? Nothing. I'm going to die. But despite the fact that I'm still wearing the sackcloth, you know, I'll open up the button. And I'll show that I'm happy. My emunah in Hashem is so complete, despite the fact that the reality is that there's a churban, the world is coming to an end, and I'm not making light of the fact of the tzar because I'm still wearing the sackcloth, but I don't have to close it, close the buttons. There's not a photo op. I'm wearing this, I'm yoitzah. I'm wearing the sackcloth, I'm yoitzah to wear the sackcloth. I'll open the button. I'm not gonna let the mourning envelop me to the degree where it controls me. I, as we say today, will control the narrative. I will control the narrative. You got me. I'm here. It's a gezeirah min hashamayim. Doesn't mean I have to go and close the button. I'll open the button of my sackcloth and I'll gird myself with joy.
Like a chasm under the chuppah. He's wearing ash, he's wearing a kippah, but all his buttons are open. He's ready to dance.
Okay. I thought you were going to say the cowl. Where does the cowl come in?
Aside the soon.
Okay, and the beginning of the pasuk as well, hafachta, you transform my misbidi. You didn't, over here, hafachta doesn't mean you removed the hesped. This hesped, there is mourning, there is eulogy, but in the hesped, there is machol, there is a dance. It's a contradiction. You can't have one. No, you can. We're here in a matzav of hesped, but yet there is an inner dance in my neshama, knowing that with the ultimate emuna, animan, the emuna shleima, that what is happening to me is in Hashemayim, and I'm in the good hands. Obviously, this is not for the faint of heart, okay? And I don't know if everyone even agrees with this principle, is that a person should, you know, there are different levels, obviously. But the questions over here on this pasuk are too difficult to ignore. Hashem does not say in this pasuk anywhere that Hashem is removing the tzar. The tzar, Rachmana Litzlan, is here to stay. It's a question of how you deal with it, how you accept it. Are you going to let it control you and take you down into a frame of mind that you can't move forward? Or are you going to take control of the tzara and acknowledge that everything comes from Hashem and I'll accept it with dignity. here he says the word mechol. Within this, while I'm still wearing the maisaki, I will still be girded with strength. Okay, it's a very high level. Let's finish up. Leman yizamercha chavot, that my neshama sing to. The word chavot here is used, I don't think we ever had this before. It's used referring to the neshama. It's a word that defines the neshama. And we have so many words for the neshama. We have five classic words, which I can never remember. Yechida, nefesh, neshama, ruach, and what's the other one?
Nefesh.
Nefesh? I said, well, there are five classic words to define the neshama.
Nefesh, ruach, neshama,
chai,
yechida.
Chai, yechida, and yechida.
Chai,
so there are five classic words. Here, you don't find it to be common to refer to the neshama with the word kavod. The neshama is called in this pasuk, it's a kavod, leman, so that yizamercha chavod. My neshama should in the future sing to you, v'lo yidoyim, and not be silenced. Hashem Elokai, Hashem my God, le'olam forever, oideka, I will thank you. Mitzudois David. Leman yizamercha, b'avurze yizamer lecha haneshama, and for this, for saving me, my neshama will sing to you. V'lo yishlek, will not be silent in azemer. V'oideko, and I will thank you lo'olam forever. All right, we have to really go over this mizmor again with Rashi. And here's Hashem on Monday. We will resume, and we have to go spend another day on this to go through the Rashis and discuss maybe a few small ideas. Okay, I'll take a very short break. We'll learn some Chumash in a few moments. Yes.
We did not get a bracha from the fifth of Avot Sharebi.
Impossible. Timeline doesn't work out.
He was born in 1931.
Who was born in 1931? Leo Zisman.
Leo Zisman.
And when did the fifth of Avot Sharebi die?
1920. Got it from the sixth of Avot Sharebi.
I don't remember that being the case. Okay, I know. I believe you. I have to then go back to the book. I have to go back to the book. I don't recall that in my mind it's really, really etched in stone that it was the fifth.
It turned into a multi-year.
Sorry?
He was lifted in 2013, 9 years ago. And he was 82 years old.
Okay.
He survived the wars in India. He was born in 1931.
Okay.
Yes. And the fifth Lubavitch Rebbe died when he was 10. Alright, so then maybe it's a different Rebbe. I have to go back to the book. I must go back to the book and see what it says in the book. It does not, in my mind, I don't know why, but in my mind, it is not the sixth Rebbe. I don't know why I have that very strong feeling. And I don't know. I have to find the book. I'm going to try my best. Hope I know where it is. And read that part of the book. The beginning. It's at the very beginning. He cheated death. He cheated death 10 times.
Yeah, that's
an amazing story.
I felt for you all the time. My wife also told me that I'm a bad guy.
Listen, I see.
Wait. My wife's a bad guy.
What they do is they sell in an exercise all the different parts of the body. In other words, whatever it is, the toes, the fingers, the eyes, the head, the neck.
Good.
You know, it's like a full body workout. So it's not just like those different weights or, turning the wheel. It's that they work turn and everything, all the different parts. There's pros and cons. You slap some stuff on them.
You were driving?
Yes. All this stuff is so important.
Anyway, we miss you at Julie's house, at Gerstein's house. You know, Aryeh is not going to be there that much often. You know, good things.
Well,
lot of those towns had good industrial all over industrial areas. They had rivers and stuff that would power up industrial
buildings.
Okay, let's begin. We want to begin by wishing Meir a Mazel Tov. This Shabbos is Bar Mitzvah of his grandson of Matan Tal Eliezer.
Elazar.
Matan Tal for Matan Torah. The Tal shall Tchiyas Amesim.
For the Mon.
The Mon. Tal of the Mon. And Eliezer for who?